Welcome to the Village, home of Taking It Back Tuesday, The Kids Corner, Music Moments, The Welcome to the Village Show, and The Second Helping. KJ, tonight I have.
You got Chance on the line.
That's what's up. That's what's up. So what's good with you, brother? How you doing?
Man, I'm doing all right. It's been a minute.
Yeah, it has, man. You know, the missus and I recorded a show the other day, and we decided to just go ahead and put that one out because, you know, the show that we recorded previously, it just didn't turn out right, so I went ahead and just put out the show that Lady J and I did. So hopefully this week we'll be all good. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir. Hey, the show's got to go on.
Exactly. Exactly. All right, man. So let's jump to this first topic, bro. Now, let's go ahead and jump on this. The Stanford rapist, Brock Turner. I'm at a loss of words for this one. And I'm trying not to push the racial issue, but it's kind of hard not to. Now, when you initially saw this, what was one of the main things that struck out to you?
One, I gotta tell you, the mugshot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the no mugshot. That was like, I was thinking, you know, every black person that gets arrested for anything, they gotta go out and find the worst picture they could possibly find for that person.
Yeah.
This guy, they scoured and found his yearbook photo, you know, but you know, 6 months, that's
actually
up there.
Actually, 3 months.
You know, that's like that affluenza kid.
Mm-hmm.
He's exactly going to have to rape and kill somebody next time, you know, and then maybe he'll get some real jail time.
Maybe. That's a huge maybe. You know, I don't know what to say about this. I'm trying not to look at this in a racial aspect, but I'm rather trying to look at this from a class aspect. You know, when the judge dropped everything, he says, you know, this is going to affect him and his lifestyle and things of that nature. You know, like I said, initially I went racial and I really had to bring myself down and realize this is an issue of class. You know,
Yeah. Is
there some racial connotation or racial undertone to this? There is. We're not going to play the idiots here. But ultimately, I believe that this is an issue of class because this young man, you know, what he did was wrong. We know that. No secrets, no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Right?
Right.
But the issue is his family has money. He comes from money. And so, of course, at this point, you know, we're looking at how this is going to affect him. Now, when I look about this as far as people of color, you know, would a black person get away with this if they had the same amount of money? I would like to believe so, but I can't put my finger on it and say for sure. But once again, it's class. You know, it's a class issue. He was assigned X amount of days in jail based on what his family stood for, based on his social status in the world, based on his education, where he went to school, things of that nature. So I do understand how people can say it's a racial issue, But to me, this goes beyond race. This further shows the divide in our country when it comes to social status and class.
Yeah, I hear you. I would like to think that regardless of class, race, that nobody should be able to get away with a crime like this.
No.
But I do think it's the more money you have, the more likely you are to get away with a crime.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are of the correct race, the more likely it is that you'll get away with the crime. And if you are of that correct race and have money, you're probably going to get away with the crime.
It's unfortunate.
That's the current state of American injustice. And, you know, money talks.
Yes, it does.
You have the right lawyers. You know the right judges. The law is tilted in your favor.
Mm-hmm.
If you are poor, regardless of race, you're probably going to do some time.
Go ahead.
It's almost like you're not worthy, and you just, because you're poor, you deserve to be in jail because, you know, what else you got? You're not doing anything else. You're not contributing to society. You're just the poor person.
And now we're going to bring that up, you know, with this being based off of a social class, a social issue, you know, I had to really look at, you know, if you're not worth anything, if you're not worth anything to the country, to the system, it's like, well, I mean, hey, you're not worth anything. I mean, whatever, just go to jail. At least we can make money off you there. Because it's no mystery that the prison system needs people. It's a privatized system. So, of course, these beds got to stay full. So, of course, we're looking for people to put into these jails. We're looking for young men and women to put into jails. And it just so happens that the vast majority of this country, people of color are poor. The vast majority are poor, or not necessarily poor, just don't make enough money to, you know, get to that upper echelon or that next social status. And that's just the way it is. So with that, it's so much easier to look at a person of color in regards to possible life choices, things of that nature. This young man comes from money. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. He attends Stanford University. He's a elite swimmer, things of that nature. But it still doesn't excuse what he did. But by all accounts, the law says we're basically giving you a pass. Here's 6 months. And on top of that, we're only going to make it 3 with good behavior. And let's be honest here. When he goes to jail, he's not going to go into gym pop. Let's be honest here. He's going to go into possibly a little isolation area. He'll be there for 3 months, and then he goes home. I don't know, and it's just it's a sad, sad situation, you know, to look at from my perspective.
I think the biggest thing is, one, the blatant disregard for the victim.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the victim is a non-person.
Yes, she
is. The victim is really the person that's at fault because she's caused this guy to, you know, to do this crime, you know, and then I, you know, reading what his father said, about how 20 minutes of action, you know, has ruined his life. Like, wait a minute, like what he did, it makes it sound like he's the victim, and I don't see how the judge can sit there and live with himself and, you know, and just totally disregard, you know, what that guy did to that young woman. You know, what if that was his daughter?
Mm-hmm.
You know, or the daughter of one of his boys. You know, I don't think he'd be getting 6 months.
No. No, if the roles were reversed, you know, and that's how I'm trying to look at this here. You know, if the roles were reversed, you know, how would you as a father feel knowing that your daughter was raped you know, granted, we're trying to victimize her and say, oh, well, you know, if she wouldn't have been drunk, you know, we, you know, this would have never happened. And I'm thinking to myself, you're the problem. But people that say that, you're the problem. You right. are the problem. So what? It's not illegal to get hammered drunk. For the most part, most people are going to do it at least once or twice in their life. Most people, not all. Right? And especially if she's a young college student, she got drunk. Oh, well. You know, pick her up, put her somewhere, keep it pushing. Now, the fact that he felt that it was okay to rape her, and his father is saying 20 minutes of action, he only eats to exist, and this, that, and the other. I was thinking to myself, you know, I really don't care. I don't care if your son eats ever again. Your son is a rapist. He raped a woman. He thought it was okay to rape someone. And let's be honest here. If social media wouldn't have really put this on blast, this would have never really been in the limelight. Because let's be honest here, media didn't exactly pick this one up until after I think social media really pushed the issue. And then that's how I found out. You know, it was like, wow.
Yeah, me too.
You know, it's like, where has this case been all this time? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate. I think
that's also one of the benefits and good things about social media.
Mm-hmm.
Is, you know, the regular media can't, you know, just by sheer volume, can't pick up every one of these stories. But sometimes I think the media has its own biases, and they will, I think, purposely neglect stories like this one that should have been picked up.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, maybe this one was a little too ugly for them, or, you know, they're thinking, oh, we don't need any more of this kind of stuff on the news. It doesn't fit the narrative that they want to portray.
Yeah.
So,
and again, you know, I'm trying not to look at this from a racial aspect. I'm really not, because I don't want to label everything racial. I really don't. But when you look at the betrayal here, you know what I mean? When you look at the betrayal and all you see is white male, rich, gets away with raping a woman who we still don't even know her ethnicity, which really doesn't matter. He raped a woman. We'll leave it at that. Right?
Yeah.
He raped someone. All we know is that he got 6 months, but he'll be home in 3. And that's what really bugs me about all this. It's not the fact that they didn't convict him, because he was found guilty. He was stopped by 2 grad students who we've really yet to hear from. And they stopped him. They held him there until the cops came. And yet, you know, we have all this evidence against him. And yet, when you look at the big picture, this young man only got 6 months. But like I said, he has 3 because he'll go home early. They'll put him in an isolation cell, and that's it.
Think of it this way. His 3-month sentence, that's like going to Marine boot camp.
Possibly. But again, Chance, it's still 3 months, man.
Yeah.
It's 3 months. I'm gonna say, that's
you know, he's like going to boot camp for 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
And then he gets out and gets to have his life back.
That's it. And you know what else killed me about all this is that his father is just like, oh, well, you know, my son is going to be, you know, late. He has to register as a sex offender and this, that, and the under. And I'm just like, yeah, because he raped somebody.
Right, because he's a sexual predator.
Yeah, like that's how it works. Like, your son raped someone.
You know, he's a creeper. You know, Dad, you might want to check your creeper meter too, because you it sounds like you starting to sound like you should be on there too.
Exactly. I thought the same thing, man. I'm not gonna lie. Like when he released his letter, I just was like, you know, you're worried about your son eating a steak, and we're worried about her being raped and mentally torn for the rest of her life. You know, when you're the victim of a rape, that takes your power. You know, that says you are powerless sometimes to some women. I don't speak for all women, but from the females that I've met that have been raped, it takes your power away. And
it's like stealing someone's humanity.
Yes, it is. Exactly. You're taking their essence. Like, you know, the human body is one thing, but when you do that, when you violate someone like that, that to me, it goes in and it steals their essence. You know, you can't. But to me, it seems like he was rewarded with a 3-month stint in a private. And he's not even really going to jail. He's going to county.
Right.
If you've read that part, he's only going to county jail. He's not going anywhere harsh or hardcore. He's going to county.
Yeah, he's not going to prison.
No. I don't know how the county jails are near or around the Stanford area. I don't know. But it's still Stanford. Like, you know, he may...
Right.
If they put him in gin pop, he may come across a couple of hooligans, whatever. But it ain't like L.A. County. You know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Like, I don't even know the young lady's name to this day. All I can say is that, you know, we can just pray for her and hopefully that she recovers well, man, because this is ugly. This is truly ugly.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Any final thoughts on that one?
You know, he's going to get what's coming to him eventually.
Karma.
I just, you know, my thoughts really go out to the victim and her family. And, you know, I hope she can get past it and have as normal of a life as is possible after something like this happens to her.
Mm-hmm. That's all you can do is pray for her, man. And hopefully everything comes full circle and that she's okay. So let's move on to this next topic here. This is something that bugged me to no ends. And let's talk about Miss USA for a quick second here. Let's talk about all the hate that Miss USA received just for the fact that basically people just are haters. I read so many different comments on her. One lady put, you know, what does her winning do better for the world? I saw so many people say that she looked like a monkey. She wasn't pretty. Just so many different comments, and just all of them ignorant. You know what I mean? Like,
oh yeah,
we're talking about a young woman who is in. She's a 26-year-old Army reservist. I believe she's either a first lieutenant or a captain in the Army Reserves. And she's a unit commander. So she's college educated. She's an officer. She's beautiful. Yet we still find a way to bring her down. Why? Because let's be honest, she's a black woman. And she won something that is historically won by white women.
I look at, you know, when Vanessa Williams won, there was a lot of controversy and people were looking for excuses to knock her down.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this woman, she wins. And, you know, I saw comments talking about how she looks like she's Nigerian and all this other stuff. And I'm like, what does that have to do with the price of tea in China? She's a beautiful, talented woman that won the competition. But I think it goes back to that underlying, that there's always been racism in America. And I think this election cycle, those racist people have been emboldened by a particular political, presidential candidate
mm-hmm.
to come forward and be proud of their ignorance and speak out loudly and proudly in their, you know, and freely in their ignorance, which, you know, they have a right to in this country. But, you know, it still makes them ignorant.
Mm-hmm. And again, you said it, it's with the current Republican nominee, Republican candidate, you know, people feel like, yeah, we can come out of the woodworks because we have him in this position. And it just further shows the divide that this presidential election is creating for our country. You know, there's going to be some winners and it's going to be some losers. It's going to be some really upset people. And this is just another indication of that, which is unfortunate, because you would want to believe that having a potential female president could unify us to a degree. But there are people that are just not buying into Hillary Clinton, which she hasn't exactly clinched the nomination yet. We'll tackle that topic next. But here it is, you know, we have people that feel that it's okay to say that this person looks like a monkey. And people are brazen these days with how they're doing it. You know, we have all these racial hate groups saying how they feel, and they support Donald Trump and this, that, and the other. And it's just blows me away. That's all I can really say about all this. You know, Miss USA, she's beautiful. She's educated. She's talented. She's an officer in the Army Reserves. I just don't understand. You know, I do understand the hate. I do understand because she is a black woman, and I get it. But however, comma, find somebody else to pick on, America. That's just how I feel.
Yeah, you know, I think part of it goes back to this whole push for political correctness and people's feelings and stuff. We've swung so far to one side that now the pendulum has suddenly swung and is swinging all the way to the opposite end of the spectrum,
mm-hmm.
where it's okay to say anything you want about anybody to anybody. And the problem is there's repercussions when you say stuff. And, you know, these people, when they say things that are blatantly hateful and racist, they don't want to be called ignorant or racist.
Yeah.
So I think,
you know, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't.
You know, it's a shame that this beautiful young woman in her glory moment has to deal with something like this. But at the same time, I think she's big enough to look at it for what it is. It's a bunch of ignorant haters,
mm-hmm.
that won't achieve what she's achieved. And she's done that and so much more. And, yeah. You know, more power to her. And I hope she, you know, water on the duck's back. She looks at it, doesn't look at it, and takes it for what it is, just a bunch of ignorant haters.
That's it. That's the best way to put it, man. Definitely. I definitely am very proud of her. Like I said, she's in the military. She's a reservist in the Army. She's an officer. She's a college graduate. She's educated. She's beautiful. Right on. All the way
through. She's from D.C.
Oh, is she from D.C.? I thought she was from Virginia. Oh, no, she went to school in Virginia. That's what it was. Yeah, she went to school in Virginia. And, yeah, she's from D.C. Okay.
But yeah, yeah, don't get it twisted. No. Yeah, she's from D.C. She's from D.C. Don't get it twisted.
Yes, sir. But congratulations to her. And like you said, like you spoke earlier, water off her back, man. Hopefully she just keeps it pushing. And, and just goes forward and keeps pushing and keeps being beautiful and educated and smart and everything else, bro. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir.
All right. So during that last segment, we did kind of speak about Hillary Rodham Clinton being potential presumptive nominee here. Now, Village, I'm not going to lie, I'm not 100% on board with Miss Hillary Clinton. I'm a Bernie supporter, is who I am. I'm sorry. But if she gets the nomination, and when all is said and done and the smoke settles, she'll get my vote. Now, people are going to say, well, why are you voting for her at 100% on board? For me, the goal is to keep the orange dude out of the White House. If my vote will help keep him out of the White House, then so be it. And that's how I'm going to vote, and that's what I'm going to do. Now, some people, again, don't agree with my logic. Well, it's my logic. You don't have to like it. You just have to know what direction I'm going with my vote. And there it is. And so, what I was really bringing all this up for, I think I was more upset with media on this one, because in a way I felt kind of tricked, and there may have been others that felt tricked as well, because you turn on like MSNBC and this, that, and the other, and they're saying, oh, she already clinched the nomination based on these facts. And so I was like, wow, okay, well, there it is. I still wouldn't cast my vote for Bernie Sanders. There, I did a provisional ballot. All my voter registration information hasn't been updated yet. And so I did a provisional ballot and I voted for Bernie Sanders. And after watching all the news coverage and things of that nature, I'm sure there were people that were just like, whoa, she's already got it, so why do we have to even go out and vote? You know what I mean, Chance?
Oh, yeah.
You know,
that's why California was pushed to the end of the election cycle, mm-hmm. because California has so many, delegates.
Yeah, and super delegates.
And,
yeah.
And then it has, California is 10% of the population. So, you win California, you just got 10% of the population on your, on your side, mm-hmm. or 10% of the delegates or electoral college, whatever it is you're running for, whatever electorate you need. You just got that.
I sure did.
So, I make no secret of it either. I'm not a Hillary fan, but I'm with you. The orange guy, man, I can't do the orange guy.
I can't do him. Just the way that he handles business, the way that he speaks. Some people will say, oh, he's a powerful man. No. When you, once again, and I'll keep reiterating this, when you allow Megyn Kelly to bum you, what are you going to do with Putin? With Putin in, comes up and slaps your wig off. What are you going to do?
Right.
These are things that I think about. Do you want this man with the launch codes to our nuclear arsenal? You don't want stuff like this. I don't care what anybody says. But again, I'm looking at, the superdelegates. They don't even vote until July 25th, if I'm correct. And for media to really push the issue of, oh, she's already clinched the nomination, this, that, and the other, it just goes to show you that the ball has always been in her court.
She's been the presumptive nominee from day one.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Bernie Sanders, when he came in and showed that he was actually a viable candidate, it actually brought somewhat of a fight for her for the nomination.
Mm-hmm.
But I think at this point it's mathematically impossible for him to win. I think he knows it. He's a man of his word, though, so he's going to take it to the convention.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I have no doubt that he's going to ask his supporters to throw in their hat with Hillary, because the orange guy, he can't be the president of the United States. I can see Hillary. Putin may say something. They try to give her a left hand, and she might scratch his eyes out.
Yeah,
I can see that happening.
Yeah, she's a fighter. I'll give her that.
know, Trump? Nah. I just see him, you know, a scene from Deliverance. You know, he'd be Ned Beatty. And for those who haven't seen the Deliverance,
yeah, I've seen Deliverance.
That's Trump, Ned Beatty.
Yeah, I've seen Deliverance. That's a very good reference, actually. That definitely was a great reference. Oh, man. But again, man, you know, when I look at the next piece of this, with Hillary being the presumptive nominee, and at this point, you know, what you just said, we kind of need to accept it. If you're a Democrat, we need to rally behind her and go from there. But let me ask you this, and this is something that I thought about. Elizabeth Warren, if she can get Elizabeth Warren on that ticket, does that guarantee her the White House, in your opinion?
Oh, yeah. She'll probably win with the largest majority in a long time.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking the same thing. But then I was also thinking, Elizabeth Warren is way more loved than Clinton. And so would she want someone that's, you know, when we think about Joe Biden, Vice President Joe Biden, you know, yeah, he's a great guy, but we love the president more. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I think Hillary Clinton would put herself in a position where she's not the one that's loved the most. And that's why I'm skeptical on whether she'll go that route.
But she still has the power. The vice president is, you know, it's kind of powerless and just a figurehead. So I'm thinking that, in a sense, she would, I think she'd be okay. You know, back in the day, I look at it like Theodore Roosevelt was a very popular vice president, very popular guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he was put on a ticket with William McKinley, who a lot of people hated. He was in the pocket of big business. But they needed him. They needed to, one, shut Theodore Roosevelt up. And two, they needed somebody that really kind of bolster McKinley. Theodore Roosevelt was the guy.
Mm-hmm.
I think the same thing is kind of true with Elizabeth Warren. Nobody particularly likes Hillary, and you know, I don't see how anybody could really like what's his face, Orange Man.
Yeah.
So
I agree.
I think if putting Elizabeth Warren on there would be a really good move. You got to wonder, you know, two queens in the castle, you know, that's always a bad move. But I think they're both professional enough,
mm-hmm,
to where they can make it work. I don't see Bernie Sanders as an effective vice president, because he wouldn't want to follow the dictates of a Hillary Clinton and support her policies. He'd be on his own agenda. And I don't think, to be true to himself, and especially a man of his age, I wouldn't see him doing it. Elizabeth Warren, that's another story. I think she could potentially even run for president.
Oh, she could. Most definitely. Elizabeth Warren could definitely run for president, and she could probably, she would hands down, she would win it. Her support base, it rivals that of Bernie Sanders. You know what I mean?
Right.
When I look at Hillary Rodham Clinton and her support, she has the Electoral College. She has the, you know, that vote. But the voice of the people, most people want Bernie Sanders to be president. Now,
mm-hmm,
now, like I said, is that going to happen? No, it's not. It's just where it's at. Let's just accept it. But here it is, we're just speaking in the perfect world. You know, perfect world, Bernie Sanders for president, Elizabeth Warren for VP, that's another 8 years.
That's right.
Easy. There is no one that can come up against that duo and win. Now, I'm not saying that Hillary Rodham Clinton can't get Elizabeth Warren on board. I'm pretty sure she could. And it would be the dynamic duo. But are we ready for a all-female party? You know, president and vice president. Has our country advanced that much to where we can handle both of those? You know what I mean?
I think so. Okay. I mean, you just had a black man named Barack Hussein Obama.
This is true.
I think they could handle an Elizabeth and a Hillary. I think they'd be more okay with that, the country as a whole. And, I mean, that's for the ignorant people. But I think getting the country and keep maintaining the country on a path to make America great again.
Mm-hmm.
I think a ticket like that would do exactly that. I think that like you said, that would be the dynamic duo.
Yeah.
Elizabeth Warren is, I think, about 66 years old, 67.
Mm-hmm. She's in there, yeah, roughly.
So if she did 4 years, Hillary, what is she, 71?
Something like that, yeah.
So I don't know if Hillary, that put Elizabeth at 70. You know, does Hillary want to do 4 more years, or does she want to pass the reins over to Elizabeth at that point? So
yeah, that's the thing too. And you know, that's the thing that people were worried about with Bernie Sanders. You gotta think, Bernie is tap dancing on what, 80? He's tap dancing on 80. I'm not trying to use his age against him, but there are those that were like, look, he's up there in years too. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's a factor for a lot of people. Some people really look at that and they're like, look, he's a great man, but how long is he going to be able to maintain this? How long is he going to be able to do this? And granted, he passed his physical and everything like that. You know, at the end of the day, it's like, he's still up there in years. And once again, I still supported him.
He's 74 right now.
He's 74. Okay, so we're rolling into him being 75 as president.
Right.
4 years.
So 4 years, he comes out at 78, 79 years old.
Yeah. Re-election, he's 83, 84 at the end of his term.
Yeah, at 8 years, yeah. So, which, then, you know, that was a problem with John McCain. When John McCain fielded, what's her face? Crazy Alaska chick.
Oh, Palin.
Yeah, when he fielded her, that ruined his, he dynamited his own campaign. He sabotaged his own campaign. He showed just how shallow and ignorant he really was.
Mm-hmm.
And his total disdain and his thoughts of how ignorant the American electorate really was, that he could flash a cute piece of tail out there and get elected to president.
And let's be honest here, Sarah Palin, she's attractive. I don't care what nobody said.
What was that?
I said, Sarah Palin's attractive. I don't care what nobody said.
Yeah, she's not hard on the eyes. No.
Yeah.
No, she's hard on your mind, but
yeah,
not on the eyes.
She's dumb, but she's so nice to look at.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, you know, that's what duct tape's for, right?
Exactly.
You know, I was gonna say something else. You know?
Hate to sound all rapey, but yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's why you put the beer on her head, right?
Mm-hmm. So, anyways, man. yeah, those topics, I mean, those issues are definitely things we need to pay attention going forward. The age of both candidates, things of that nature. Even looking at Donald Trump, he's not that young either. I think he's pushing 70 as well.
Yeah, I believe so. He's in his. Let me look up Orange Man. Let's see how old this guy is.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, we've definitely got some older, more seasoned candidates this year, which is fine. There's nothing wrong with that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. He's 69.
He's what?
69.
Okay, he's 70.
Mm-hmm.
In HR.
Oh, wait a minute. His birthday's coming up.
Okay, so he's 70.
Yeah.
And Hillary Rodham
Clinton. June 14th.
Yeah, in HRC, she's 71. You know, Tabitha's on 72. So again, you know, we'll see what happens. We'll see. You know, it's there'll never be another President Barack Obama ever. You know, this was definitely a one-time thing here. So, don't want the man to leave, but hey, he's ready to leave.
You know, here's an interesting fact about Donald Trump. His political party affiliation.
Mm-hmm.
Before 1980, he was a Democrat in 1987, then a Republican from 87 to 99,
mm-hmm.
then from 99 to 2001, he was part of the Reform Party. From 99 to 2001. Then from 2001 to 2009, he was a Democrat again. Then from 09 to 11, or 09 to present, no, 09 to 11, Republican. Then 11 and 12, an independent. Now 12 to present, Republican again.
Mm. And you know what's funny? As you're saying that, I'm kind of scrolling through my feed a little bit and listening to you, but I just found a video where Donald Trump actually endorsed Hillary Clinton at one point. So, yeah. You know, it's politics. Politics is ugly. It's just what it is. Let's move on to this last topic here, man. Let's talk about it's something a little lighter to kind of end with, and we'll jump into some Village Idiot. But the Citadel denies a request to a Muslim cadet to wear her hijab. Now, I'm not going to lie, I'm a little bit on the fence with this one. Let me tell you why. Most people don't even really know the differences between the hijab. I believe it was pronounced the niqab or the burqa. Now, the hijab or hijab, however you pronounce it, I'm not sure. If you guys want to correct me. But that actually just covers the hair. Now, the niqab or the niqab, I'm not sure if I'm saying it correctly, it covers the face and only exposes the eyes. And the burqa is a full body covering. And you can't even see a person's eyes. A person on the inside sees through like a veil or something of that nature. So, and this is why I'm torn on this. She's not asking to cover her face or her whole body. She is asking, can I cover my hair? And that's why, and I, because initially when I read it, I was like, well, I mean, she's in the army. She's a cadet, you know, uniformity, you know what I mean? She has to comply. But, you know, we've made special requests for other people in the past, I'm sure. And to me, her request isn't too outlandish. She's, like I said, she's not asking to cover her face. She's simply saying, hey, can I cover my hair? That's it. That's all this is.
Well, I gotta tell you, I'm, as a veteran... The hat, but you know, your cover covers your hair.
That's
true. When you join the military, there are certain things that you give up. You know, you there are certain freedoms that you give up for the privilege to serve your country.
Mm-hmm.
If, and it's a choice. You don't have to join the military. You don't have to do any of that. But if you make that choice, you know, the military is not going to conform to you. You have to conform to the military.
This is true.
So, for me, this isn't the private sector. This is the military. So, the military does not have to conform to and make a special accommodation for this individual. When she's outside, her hair is covered. When she's inside, she has to remove, you know, it's... she has to remove the cover, and you know, she don't take a shower with her hair covered. So
no, well, it's know. I'm just saying, in reference to her wearing her uniform the other day. You know, you and I, we differ on this, and that's okay. This is what makes the village great. You know, I'm okay with her requesting for it. Now, the fact that the Citadel told her no, you know, I mean, I get it. I'm okay with it. I'm just saying, me personally, if I'm in a position to where I'm basically voting on her to be able to wear it, I would say, yeah, go ahead. It doesn't bother me. I don't have a real issue with this. But again, you are correct when you say that this isn't the private sector. She's in a military school. This isn't like USC or UCLA or something like that. And she's not, you know, going through an ROTC program or anything like that. This is the real deal. She's preparing to go into the military after this. And so I do understand the issue of, like you said, uniformity and being a cohesive unit and things of that nature. So I'm okay with it. But I'm just saying, for me personally, I would be okay with her putting in this request and me saying, I'm okay. Go ahead and rock your thing. That's me.
Yeah, I would be the hardline bad guy in this one.
Mm-hmm.
I would grant her the ability to be able to leave, without any repercussion. But I wouldn't make a specific accommodation. I wouldn't on that one.
Yeah.
I think, because it's part of the uniform.
Mm-hmm.
If the military now, what I would do is perhaps the military, maybe it's time for the military to address and maybe make something that, you know, is fitting with the uniform.
Mm-hmm.
To make a special accommodation. But I think until that is done, you know, maybe she can be part of that task force to create something. To be able to accommodate a covering for just the hair. That is also, I mean, because scarves used to be worn all the time, scarves and bandanas and things. So I think it's possible.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not in existence right now. And because it's not in existence right now, I think she's kind of stuck in that place where she has to either comply or, you know, or deal with the outcome that she got. I don't fault the Citadel. I don't think they're being racist, or I don't think their decision was wrong.
No, it's not a hateful issue. It's, these are the rules. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, these are the rules. This is the contract that you signed. We understand your position and how you feel about this. But at the end of the day, you know, you're here, you're a student, this is what you signed up for. I get it. I am totally on board with their decision. I'm just saying, I could have been the voice of reason, a little bit different. I could have been the voice that said, hey, can we explore this a little more? Can we talk about this a little more? Because truth of the matter is, it's not, to me, it's not the end of the world. You know what I mean? If she would have worn it. But again, Chance, you and I can agree to disagree, but I'm personally okay with her saying, with her requesting to wear her hijab or hijab, however you pronounce it. I'm personally okay with it.
Yeah, no, I hear you. Like I said, I think it's time for the military to actually address some sort of and make some sort of accommodation for women, for Muslim women or any other women. I mean, you know, Catholic nuns cover their hair for a long time, and no one made a big deal out of it when Muslim women do it. Now it's an issue, but in the military, I think there's enough wiggle room in the uniform to allow for women to have some sort of covering for their hair and have it be like an optional garment if they so choose to wear.
Exactly, that's what I'm talking about. It's
I think that's possible, but unfortunately, like I said, right now, since that's not the case, I would say that that's kind of where it's at.
Yeah, that's the truth. That's exactly where it's at. It's just, you know, I'm not saying the military needs to catch up, but, you know, I'm sure as time progresses and, you know, we're becoming more and more liberal and things of that nature, I'm sure there will be some changes to uniforms and things of that nature. I'm positive there will be. So,
right.
You know, again, it's really about the long haul in regards to this. Are we going to see major changes made tomorrow? Oh, no, we are not. You know what I mean?
This is
a certainty. We will not see major changes tomorrow, but in the future, we're definitely going to see some changes to uniforms. We're seeing sheiks or souk, however you pronounce it. I'm not sure. You'll forgive me. But they're in the army, I believe, is allowing them to wear turbans. And
yes.
Because you're seeing army officers. You know, I saw a captain with his two bars on the middle of his turban. And to me, I was okay with it. You know, like, this is America. If we're supposed to enjoy and bring everybody in and be all inclusive, then to a degree, we kind of have to accommodate people. And now I'm not saying this has to happen, like I said, right now. Oh, okay, I just saw your text. But I'm not saying that we have to complete right now. But once again, you know, we're America. It's okay. Let's figure it out. Any final thoughts on this, Chance?
No, I think the military is always evolving and adapting, and you know they tend to be in the forefront of social change. The military has always been kind of like a social experiment, and I think that in time there will be special accommodations made. I mean, before, back when my mother was in the military, you had to, if you got pregnant, you couldn't stay in.
Mm-hmm.
A few years later, that rule changed. So, you know, there's always changes and adaptation happening in the military. So, unfortunately, I think she's just in it in a time where the change is there. But I think it is coming. Change's gonna come.
That's right. Change's gonna come. All right, Village. Well, you've heard our topics for tonight, and Chance and I are going to cut this short. No Village Idiots tonight. We're going to do, you know what, Chance? We're going to do a show real soon where it's just Village Idiots, bro. We're going to just go at it. Get Lady J in here and just cut up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, we got to do some look. Village. What's that?
Oh, I said that's a good look. I like that idea.
Yeah, we'll do a straight Village Idiot show. Coming up real soon, just for the heck of it, because it's time. We speak a lot about serious topics, and we gotta break it up and do things. So, but Chance, what's your Twitter, sir?
At Chance W. Brown.
And I'm at Enlighten My Mind. You can also check out the Village Twitter handle at WT The Village. You can also check out our website, welcometothevillage.com. Check out our Facebook page. Welcome the number 2 The Village. You can also give us a call at 619-202-1562. And stay tuned. Lady J and I on Saturdays will be doing a live show through our Welcome to the Village page. We'll do Facebook Live, and we're going to have people chime in and give us their thoughts and things of that nature. And it would be so much fun if you guys could join us. Times are to be determined, but it'll be every Saturday for the most part. Chan, you got anything else you want to say before we wrap this up?
No. Just don't forget to vote.
That's right. All right, Village. Well, as the saying goes, we love you. We thank you for listening. God bless you. Have a great night.